The question the rich person asked probably is not as simple as we wish it could be. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I think the rich person got off on the wrong foot with Jesus. I think the word must was the wrong word. What must I do? Should be, what can I do? What things can I do? In fact, it should be, Jesus, what can I do to help you? Instead, the rich person said, well, what must I do? One commentator observed that the tone in these stories is anxious. And that's true. From the get-go, Jesus talked to his followers and to all the people that he encountered about challenging the religious status quo. But this time, Jesus talked about money. And talk about money and religion makes everyone anxious. The disciples were perplexed at these words, and I think so are we. In the Still Speaking devotional yesterday that many of us get online, our friend Molly Basquet wrote, "The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, but fear, shame, and secrecy about money do the work of evil just as much as our love of it." I don't think this story is principally about money. I think this story is about following Jesus. The rich person wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And I wonder how he got his money. He probably inherited it, probably from his rich father. The rich person probably didn't work for it. It was given to him. And so he said, what must I do to inherit? And really the answer to that question is nothing. It isn't about you, rich man. It's about God. In Matthew and Luke, this story seems to be more like a test of Jesus, that the rich man was testing Jesus the way other religious leaders did, and so the question becomes hypothetical, which perhaps would explain why Jesus' first response was as it was. Why do you call me good? Maybe the rich man was looking for the compliment back. Good teacher, what must I do? Well, my good friend, this is what you must do. But Jesus wasn't having any of it. Follow the commandments. The person said, I've done all these things since I was a child. Nonsense. He didn't do all those things since he was a child. I'm sorry. No, he didn't. So he lied. None of us keep all of the commandments. Jesus looked at him with love, which I don't quite understand either. Was it love at first sight? Or maybe Jesus knew this person and understood what this person was like. Or maybe Jesus saw 100 of these people and knew what they were like. Didn't matter. Give all you have to the poor and then come and follow me. The person couldn't do it. It's easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. I've heard that story that you've said about the maybe the eye of the needle gate. One of the commentators I read said that probably came from the 9th century, and so it's a nice story, but I don't know. It probably means just exactly what it says. It's hard for rich people to get to heaven. Maybe, and I'm calling all of us rich, we need to work a little harder at it. But Jesus himself says it will be hard for anyone. But for God, all things are possible. I think the rich man's problem, rich person's problem, at some point I shifted my tenses, is it a man or is it a woman, okay? It could be a rich woman, but it's not. I think the rich person's problem wasn't that he was rich, but that her riches got in the way of her having a relationship with God. I think the disciples believed Jesus was talking about money when he said how hard it would be for the rich to get to heaven. But I think Jesus was talking about how hard it is for any of us who allow something to get in our way of having a relationship with Jesus and with God, how hard it will be for any of us to be blessed by God, to enter into God's reign. It's not just the money. It's not just about the money. What do we have that gets in our way? It could be money, and money is a placeholder for lifestyle. Your wallet can be full, but if you have the lifestyle of an ordinary person, great. But lots of things can get in our way. Our worries, our passions, our confidence or our overconfidence, our doubts, our addictions. Finally, I guess our human nature can get in the way. I said last week that God created us to think and to question. And sometimes those questions get in the way. So what gets in your way? Doubt, fear, pride, anxiety. It's an anxious reading. We live in anxious times. News comes at us fast, and bad news always dominates. And there's some serious bad news for us to consume. The coronavirus, the election. Who to vote for? Did I vote for somebody who isn't even now running? The unresolved impeachment issues, politicians simply telling us the truth as they would rather see it than telling us the truth. Fake news, misleading online news that's badly sourced or completely unsourced at all. Politicians who use public agencies to fit their own aims rather than allow public agencies to do their jobs. I was going to tell you all that if you read something about the coronavirus, that you shouldn't take anything you read online, shouldn't believe anything you read online. Did I say that? You shouldn't believe anything you read online without at least checking it out. And I gave up a compliment to the Centers for Disease Control, but I read some of what they wrote online and thought, no. So read what the CDC writes. Read what the New York Times writes. Don't watch television news. look at Scientific American Online or buy the journal, but think about what's being said. Because there are people who are trying to make us even more anxious. How can we as humans get into God's reign? It's impossible for us. But for God, all things are possible. So can we begin Lent with less anxiety? Can we give up being anxious for Lent? I really hope so. Can we focus on God's love for us? So wipe your nose and throw away the tissue and wash your hands. If you don't feel good, go home. We'll miss you in your absence. You can pray at home and you can give to church from the comfort at home. If you do feel good, then help others, because now is the time for all of us to pitch in. Can we begin with Lent with less anxiety? Can we focus on God's love for us? Think about this meal. Think about the symbolism of taking a little bit of food and blessing it and sharing it. Think about those things. The last time I did communion, I asked the servers to offer people a blessing, and we'll do that again this week. We'll say, may God give you peace, and may God calm your fears. Amen.